Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is six times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys, Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by Fifth Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's go play Tessie episode 267. It's the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, wherever you get your podcast, and wherever you watch YouTube on YouTube, just subscribe to WEEI, find the Play Tessie playlist there, hit the thumbs up on the episodes, and then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Follow us there. You can find all the content there. Here with Sammy. Pat's out sick tonight, not feeling good with the Red Sox. All right. Sammy, we did last podcast. It was just the two of us as well. And to be straight up, the vibes were pretty depressed. They lost a series to the A's. It felt like things were crumbling. I think we acknowledged, and we definitely acknowledged at radio on Saturday, that even though vibes were bad, the playoff percentages were still in their favor, but it just felt like that was the direction it was going. Now, we're following another loss. They did the thing again where they win the first two and lose the last one, or lose the first two, win the last one. This, I guess, is the better version because it means they won 2 out of 3. But I'm gonna tell you why I feel good. And I don't know. Like we're recording so quickly after the game that I don't know how the fan base is reacting. I think a lot of people are panicking. If I had to guess, this is true. This is just a guess. But if I had to guess, I think people would still be panicking because they see the one. They're up by one game on a playoff spot. That said, you're up by one game on two teams that you have the tiebreaker over. Both of them need to pass you. So let's do some simple math here. If the Red Sox go 3-3, both of those teams need to go 5-1 to knock the Red Sox out. If the Red Sox go 2-4, both of them need to go 4-2. So even though the Red Sox lost the game tonight, and this would have been a phenomenal opportunity, because if they'd won this game tonight, then what I just said, it would have been if they go 2-4, then they both need to go 5-1. And it's like, okay, like we're talking postseason matchups tonight, maybe if they win that game. But we can't get there yet because they didn't, and they still do have to semi take care of business against two good teams, albeit two teams that maybe aren't necessarily playing their best ball in Toronto and Detroit. We can get into that later in the podcast. But Sammy, I think I just gave about as positive of an outlook as you can have coming off of a loss in a game that, let's be honest, the Red Sox absolutely should have won.
Yeah, frustrating loss on Sunday night, no doubt about it. There was a lot of runners left on base, some questionable decisions with the bullpen. I thought some poor defense. Bregman, surprisingly, made that play at home. I thought he should have had the runner there. That's a play he makes, I bet, 9 out of 10 times. So frustrating, but I'm with you. I'm not negative or anything. The Red Sox won the series, and I think the biggest thing that's changed since you and I recorded last, since the standings where the Red Sox are at hasn't changed much, the Tigers, Rangers, and Astros have all started. They were during skids, but now they are melting down big time, those three teams. Astros just got swept by the rival Mariners. Tigers are like one out of their last 10, I believe. They're ice cold, coldest team in baseball. Borderline, not historic collapse, but one of those, ugh, gross, don't want to think about it if you're a Tigers fan. And then the Rangers have basically fallen out of the race entirely. So with that context, when it felt like the sky was falling here in Boston, when you look at those other teams, it kind of gives you a little bit of a cushion. Plus, like you said, the tiebreaker scenario is in the favor of the Red Sox, and the time left on the calendar is in the favor of the Red Sox. So we're a little more comfy being up one game on a playoff spot now compared to a few days ago when we were, I don't know, if you didn't listen to last episode, Gordo's intro was objectively hilarious. You sounded so sad. That was, okay, here we go, play Tessie, episode 2-6. Very sad. And honestly, the way things felt at the time, I thought you were spot on with that. So a little more comfy, like I said, with the context of the other teams floundering about, looking even worse than the Red Sox. You take 2 out of 3 from Tampa. If we spoke before the series and said, would you accept 2 out of 3 knowing that you'd lose the last one? I think both of you and I would say, absolutely, we take it. So who am I to complain? Still in a playoff spot, and that's the goal.
Yeah, I mean, to take what I said specifically about the series going in, I said it's a series you have to take 2 out of 3. And maybe with the results on some of the outside matchups, you didn't necessarily have, like, you'd still be an okay, you can do it position if you took one. But they took two. And I said, yeah, it's a series where, yeah, you'd feel a lot better about yourselves if you swept. But I think we're in the position, having 1 2 out of 3, that I thought they would be in if they swept, just because the Astros got swept. The Rangers have lost 7 in a row. The Tigers have lost 6 in a row. And, you know, maybe I feel a little bit better. Not maybe, I do feel a little bit better going into these last two seasons. Even though, like, we've talked about it. We were talking about it, I think, off air at radio, about whether you'd rather play the Tigers with them having nothing to play for because they've already secured everything they can secure, or would you rather play them with a chance potentially to pass them if the Guardians are going to clinch the division? I'm totally content playing the Tigers with the brand of baseball that they're playing right now. So even though they're probably not going to clinch anything, the fact that the Blue Jays just snapped a four-game winning streak today, or sorry, snapped a four-game losing streak today with a win, and the Tigers are on a six-game losing streak. Like, you're playing two of the better teams in baseball coming up. But some context here, like, the Red Sox pretty much, I would say, 3-3 gets them into the playoffs. I find it highly unlikely that the Astros and the Guardians are both going to go 5-1 or better. So I think if you go 3-3 against two teams that maybe aren't necessarily playing their best baseball right now, you're definitely in. And that makes me feel okay about things.
I think best case scenario is you get the Tigers, because that's a team that if they get into the playoffs, it's not going to be a hooray, we did it. It's going to be a exhale. Okay, we didn't collapse. Oh, crap, now we got to play a series. But regardless, just get in. I'll be happy. I feel better. I think that also, just in a very general sense, the way the Red Sox played, just felt better. And I know it's easy to say that when they win games, but they had, other than Sunday night, the first two games, they had timely hitting. They did the little things, a little bit of small ball here and there, some bunting. So that makes me feel better in general. It's because part of why we were so depressed with the A's series is it was just gross baseball. On top of losing the games, it was just gross, gross, gross brand of baseball where it didn't make you feel like things were going to change. This loss on Sunday, I'm frustrated, but they had guys on base all night. They were making hard contact. Connelly early, his first, not a struggle, but he didn't dominate the A's for the first time. So he faced a new team, probably a better team, weaker offense, better team. Regardless, not his best. And then the bullpen, whatever. So it's not like anything crazy happened on Sunday that would make you feel terrible moving forward.
Yeah, and with Early too. I mean, it was a tall ask to ask him to go to this ballpark on 4 days rest for, I believe, the first time since April, which I'm surprised he ever was doing that. But I heard somewhere he did it in April. But I mean, to go bit by bit here, Crochet on the 4 days rest. I know he was 6 innings, 3 runs, and like obviously, like results wise, you maybe in a big game like that, you'd think, oh, like I would hope he gets 7 and 2 runs or less. But like two of the runs were on dinky homers, just that ballpark, and he was striking guys out. He looked really good after pretty much the first inning. So you feel good about that. Second game, Kyle Harrison, we got to talk about what we saw from him in this game, because this is a dude who, like, let's not get lost in the shuffle here. He was making his first start for a new organization in one of the bigger games of the season. I like it's
and the way he came over, he's in the shadow of Rafael Devers too. That cannot be ignored. That's what everyone's thinking when he's on the mound,
right? And I know, like, every game they play like we say it's the biggest game of the year every single day at this point, but at that point it's like, okay, this is maybe the biggest game of the year. And he comes out there and totally cool, totally calm, totally collected. Even in the sixth inning, that was maybe the most impressive part of the start for me, is he puts the first two guys on in the sixth. He's facing the meat of the order for the third time through. This is a guy who has not been going 6 innings in the minors. And maybe that's because of him working on pitches in the minors. And now he's actually, you know, fully focused on getting outs. Like we talked about it with Peyton Tolley, with him using his off speed in the minors and how it changed in the majors. Kyle Harrison, it's the same thing. But he was totally calm, totally cool, facing the middle of the order with two guys on, no outs, and like it's a 3-1 ball game at that point. And he got the 3 outs right then and there, and it was just easy. And yeah, the bullpen gave it up after, but you know, we talk about the Red Sox not getting the big hit, and they sure as shit didn't get the big hit in the third game. But in the second game, Trevor Story in the ninth inning got the big hit, and they did what they needed to do in those first and second games to come back and win a game that was certainly in doubt in the late innings. And we're sitting here a hell of a lot differently if they do what they'd been doing for about a week prior, or what they did tonight, and don't get those hits, and they're coming off getting swept by the Rays, and the Red Sox are now, what would they'd be a game out of the playoffs, right? If they got swept? Or no, I can't do math. What if they got swept?
Yeah, they'd be one game back if they got swept by Tampa. Luckily, it didn't happen. I do want to touch on Kyle Harrison really quickly. I know it wasn't his debut, but it felt like his debut, if that makes sense. Like, he's a starting pitcher. That's who he is. The calmness, that's what really impressed me the most. He seemed cool as a cucumber out there. And you kind of forget that this is a guy who has close to 200 big league innings under his belt already. So it's not the same as Tolley or Early in there. Still, though, it's a big spot to be in. Like I said earlier, every time he pitches, people are going to bring up the Devers trade. It's just the way it is. I think it's going to get annoying eventually. For me, it already is annoying. You know how I feel about that. But it's part of his story and who he is and how he got here. So I thought he was great. On top of being very calm, the results were good, too, which at this time of the year, that's really the only thing we care about. 6 innings, 5 Ks, 60 strikes on 86 pitches. The thing, like I've said a million times on the show, it was the inability to put guys away. And it's not like he was striking out the world the other night. Got his fair share, but throwing strikes at opportune times just was more impressed with. He looked better in Major League Baseball than he did in any of his AAA starts for the Red Sox, save for maybe one or two of them. So very impressed with Kyle Harrison. That's got to. Well, here, Gordo, let's talk about it right now. We spoke about who do you have the most faith in. After Early had his hot start against the A's, Early, Harrison, or Toley, what's your current order?
Well, my take back then is the same now. I said whoever is the hottest, and right now Kyle Harrison had the better start, so right now he's the hottest. And they've taken Toley out of the rotation, so now he's basically out of the running. So it is between Harrison and Early. And I honestly, either which way, I wouldn't get on anyone for having an opinion on either one of those guys being the fourth guy.
You give, in the spirit of the playoffs, do you give Harrison the tiebreaker? If it is the same, would you give him the tiebreaker due to experience?
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
All right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'd go Harrison, Early, Toley. Actually, I'm pretty confident with that. And it's not like Early wasn't bad. He just wasn't dominant, where I feel you could say with Kyle Harrison, he was close to dominant or enough that we can discuss it. So good for him, man. I felt like a lot of people, for whatever reason, had not like given up on him, but they weren't treating him with a guy who has a pedigree like him. Like, this guy was a elite prospect, the number one left-handed pitching prospect in the world at one point, not that long ago, and he's still young. So yeah, Kyle Harrison, you got to feel good about that if you're a Red Sox fan.
Can I get on my soapbox for a second with this? Because I think the conversations surrounding Kyle Harrison and Christian Campbell are super, super similar. And the fan base's perception of these guys is really similar. And they're guys who have kind of had similar trajectories. I mean, Campbell got the extension, of course, so that obviously changes the way that's talked about. But with Harrison, he was in the minors for a long time, and he was getting with the Red Sox, and there were opportunities for them to call him up, and they passed on him every single time. And I think a lot of people took that to mean, well, the Red Sox think this guy stinks. This guy's no good. If he's not good enough to be pitching in these games, like, what the hell are we doing? They got nothing for Devers. And I actually think it's the opposite. Like, they know the ceiling of the guy that they have here. They know what they have, and they know what they want to work on. And because he's important to their future, they're going to be careful with him and try to make sure that they get it right. It's the same thing with Christian Campbell. Like, you can't sit here today and tell me that Christian Campbell is a worse player than every single player on the Red Sox active roster. That said, they're being really careful with him because he's a big prospect who came up, showed what he could do for a month. That's not just fake, phony 900 whatever plus OPS AL Rookie of the Month. Like, that's not just nothing and came out of nowhere and was a fluke. But that said, clearly something went wrong, and they're going to try to make sure they do everything in their power to get it right. The fact that Christian Campbell is passed up does not mean that the Red Sox think, oh, like, Nick Sogard and Nate Eaton and Ali Sanchez are going to be better players for the next year, 2 years, 3 years than Christian Campbell. It just means they're going to try to get it right. And Kyle Harrison came up in shock, like, shocker. He did well, and he never was bad. And Christian Campbell is not bad. But these guys are really, really important cogs in the present and future Red Sox. And it looks like maybe they did something right with Kyle Harrison. And hopefully it turns out the same with Campbell, and he comes up and it looks like they did something right.
Right. Credit to the Red Sox for that. And a lot of, if you listen to people who are prospect experts, guys who are really in the weeds, like the Sox prospects guys, for example, they're great. They do a great job. When they spoke about Kyle Harrison, it wasn't this guy's not that good. It was just that he was making mistakes in AAA that would not translate to the big league level. Like I said earlier, not putting guys away. There was a time where he was walking too many guys, too many pitches. Just that wouldn't translate. And he started to whittle down those mistakes as time went on. Then it forced the issue with the injuries up here in the big leagues in Boston. And he gets called up. And at that time, it's like, okay, now he's a little bit more ready. And you could say something similar about Christian Campbell where, yeah, like, the results look good. He's getting hits and everything, but there's a lot of soft contact. He's not pulling the ball how they want him to, but that's slowly starting to change as well.
That's so the key right there. Just wait for the it getting better?
Yeah, it's
yes.
Right. And then if you want the converse of that, you look at, and I hate to use this guy because I feel like I've used him as this example a few times, but it's Vaughn Grissom, who has great AAA stats just like those two did. Kyle Harrison had a great ERA, a lot of strikeouts. Christian Campbell, good average, whatever you want to look at, home runs. But they're still not calling him up. With Vaughn Grissom, same thing. Great AAA numbers, but if you dig into why those numbers are good, he's hitting stuff that low velocity. He doesn't hit anything that's high velocity. Can't get by like that in the big leagues. Hitting a lot of ground balls through the infield for hits. A lot harder to do that in the big leagues. Will that translate? Not sure. Is the power there? Not really. Is the speed there? No. Is the defense there? No. And so that's why people say, why is Vaughn Grissom not up? He's got to be better than XYZ. He's got to be better than Sogard. Nick Sogard's a slap hitting middle infielder. He's probably not. And there's a reason he's still in AAA. And it just goes along like, these guys know what they're doing. I'm not saying don't have opinions on who should come up and everything. But when there's a guy like Kyle Harrison and it's makes no sense. How could he possibly not be up here? It makes no sense. Why is Christian Campbell not? There's always a reason. There's never no reason. They're not going to hate a guy. And if there is a bad reason, suppressing service time, we'll say that. And it will be pretty obvious. So in situations like this, there's got to be more than meets the eye. And that's clearly what happened with Harrison and is happening with Campbell and Grissom.
Yeah, that's good on you for bringing Grissom into this, because it is a similar conversation. Grissom does not have the ceiling of Christian Campbell, certainly not at this stage. And you're right, the hitting velocity has been a problem for Grissom, and it's also been a problem for Christian even of late. Like, I know he's been better, but it's still I don't know. I know he had the rib thing. I just don't understand how that went out the door. And maybe an off season of work changes it. Like, I know he's got still a super high ceiling, and I still have a ton of faith in the kid. But yeah, the fact that the hitting velocity has been an issue, I know since the book has gotten out on him, has been something that's plagued him. But with Harrison, it's always easier to look at it with pitchers. And like, we looked at it with Tolley, we looked at it with Harrison. When Harrison first came over, it's like they're trying to introduce a new pitch and a cutter and a new pitch and a sinker, and they're teaching him a new changeup grip. And you could look at the pitches he's throwing in games, and he's throwing a crap ton of cutters that are registering as sliders, but that's his cutter. And you see it on I think they figured it out the next day. They changed it to cutter, but I think in game they were showing up as sliders. If you look at the pitch mix in his early AAA starts, he's throwing a shit ton of these pitches. And if you look at the way he used it in game, the cutter can be a get me over. The cutter can be a pitch to soft contact, but it's not going to be his bread and butter. Like, he was using his slurve, which he's had for years, as more of a bread and butter. He's using his fastball, which is his best pitch, as his bread and butter. And it's like, you just can't judge results when he's throwing his third and fourth pitches at like a 50% clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we said, we've spoken about this before. Tolley did that in Double A. I remember there was a game where he threw like 40% fastballs, and people thought he was hurt. And he was like, no, I'm doing that on purpose. Yeah, he's cool. He can tell you that. And it is easier with pitchers. That's a great point as well, because you get such a bigger sample. Batter, you see him four at-bats a game, five at-bats. Pitcher, you get a whole five innings worth of stuff to comb through, velocity, pitch type, sequencing, all that. So, yes, it's easier to tell. But, you know, the two guys we mentioned, Campbell and Grissom, you got a whole season worth of evidence to back up why they are where they are.
Yeah, and you hope
also,
that...
I think... Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Campbell's really going to benefit from a reset. He's had a crazy whirlwind of a season that, like, just... It was so loud, probably. Just, you're up in Boston, you break camp, which was kind of a surprise when the time it happened. There was less of a surprise, but like, we can call it a surprise. Broke camp, you're playing second base, you don't have a ton of experience, you're on fire to start, everyone's talking about you, you're going to be the rookie of the year, people are showing betting odds in April, crazy, get the extension, oh my god, this guy's legit, this is the start, they're going to start locking down their core, and then he just slows down to a snail's pace, and then he's in AAA for months, and it's just quiet for so long. It has to be jarring, and it's just a weird situation to be in, and he has to have it looming. And
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
His mind that he doesn't want to be the guy who gets the contract and then just disappears, falls off a cliff. So it's just get a reset, enjoy the winter, go somewhere warm, and then come back. And I think he's going to have a great career.
Yeah, I do too. And he does seem to, at least the way he's talking to the media. I think it was Bradfo and Cotillo spoke to him, and he talked about, yeah, this kind of like a redshirt year. And he talked to us about this in AAA. He's like, oh yeah, I've heard now about all these dudes who got sent down and they had great careers. He likes to talk about Mike Trout, which is a great example of a guy who came up, struggled mightily, got sent down, came up, and obviously Mike Trout is Mike Trout. But yeah, I think he's probably, if I had to guess, I know he spent the last two off seasons, I think, in Fort Myers, working with their unit there, and I'm sure he's going to do the same thing again this year. Hopefully, take a little bit of a breather after the season, because I agree, long, taxing season for him.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines. Whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/2400 to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, permitted parishes only, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York or visit oasas.ny.gov/gambling. Standard text messaging rates apply. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited.
But let's get back to the big club, because there are some guys who were struggling mightily. Like when we jumped on the last podcast, I was listing the names of the injured players, the player that was traded in Devers, and I listed off two guys who had not produced at all offensively in the second half. Alex Bregman, Sadon Rafaela, both had legitimate moments in the series, but the guy who really looked like he was coming out of his funk was Alex Bregman. Three games, all three, looked like himself, hit a home run in the first game that obviously, when it was all said and done, was big because it allowed the Jarren Duran two-run homer to put you on top. He was seeing pitches, spitting on balls. Even in the last game, did he take two walks in tonight's game? What? Spitting on pitches? That's not sexual.
He said spitting on balls. You didn't say spitting on pitches.
Did I say spitting on balls? Okay.
You said spitting on balls. Sorry. What'd you ask me?
I asked, did he take two walks in the finale today? I'll look it up.
Yes, he did. His home run, he pulled a home run in the air. That was the best. That's what's been missing. Pull in the air. Ted Williams special, but a righty.
Yeah. So he was 2 for 3 with 2 walks in the last game. In the second game, he was 2 for 5 RBI, no walks. And in the first game, he had the home run. Let's see what the numbers were. He was 1 for 3, a home run, 2 walks. So he took 4 walks in the series, hit a home run, was on base all the time. Like, that's the Alex Bregman that this team needs. It's no surprise. They won a game. They won 2 games in the series, and obviously his fingerprints were all over it.
Right, and look at that. You can win games without Roman Anthony when these guys produce. It's not, I don't mean to, you know, say like, oh, you should still be the same team. Obviously not, but Bregman is, I feel like people started to forget who this guy is. Alex Bregman's like a, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame conversation when he retires, and he's not old. He's, what, 31? He's not going to fall off a cliff like that. So I'm glad he's just finally playing better. We don't have to speculate. Well, I'll hold the phone on that. Speculate on if he's playing through something.
He probably is.
Because did you see him go tag up from third base?
That was crazy.
So if he's not doing that all the time, it's got to be something.
That was going to be my point, is that you also have to feel good that he was able to tag up and basically turn on the Jets for what he did on that ball, which it still doesn't look like he's moving great on that, but that's at least like the best he's moved, it looks like, in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely playing through something. The question is, can you get results? Because obviously the injury isn't going to magically go away. Like, what you've got right now with him is what you're going to have in a week. It's what you're going to have in 2 weeks. If he's playing through it, like, he's going to have to play through it. And hopefully what we saw this series is what you're going to get moving forward, because newsflash, you're probably not going to beat the Jays and the Tigers to get at least 3 wins if Alex Bregman is going 0-for every single game.
Hey, what if you could magically heal his injury with a sound bath? Just found out about these things.
What does that mean? Sound bath?
Sound bath. It's like you sit in a circle with a bunch of people, and there's someone with like a bowl in the middle, and they hit the outside, and it's like, bong, om. It's very healing. Maybe
why
that
is
could
that healing? Why is what I is the? Know. It's gonna
you're
just
bathing
like
in
make
the sound
it, like, feel better.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
Don't knock it, dude. Don't knock it.
Hey, they've got a lot of employees on that training staff. I hope they've thought of it.
Sound bather.
Where did you hear about this? That you?
I was watching reality TV. I saw it.
What show? Let's hear it. What were you watching? What were you watching, Sammy?
Vanderpump Rules.
I've heard that name so many times. I don't know what it is.
Dude, it's great reality TV. Anyway.
What is Vanderpump
Rules? This might be the first time in forever, Gordo, I'm actually on your side when it comes to pop culture.
Do you not know what it is? Or have you
not
heard
a clue? I don't know what it is, but if I do guess, because Sammy said it's reality television, it's fake arguments about God knows what, the smallest things in the world. And it's like that Bachelor crap or whatever.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Listen, Joe.
Yeah.
Can I give you?
I called it like crap. I stand by it.
I do like some reality TV, and I'll give my argument for it. I think watching other people's lives in pure chaos makes people feel better and more secure about their own life. Like, you
makes
think
you feel
your
grounded,
life is,
bro.
It makes your life feel not overwhelming, because they're dealing with all this crazy shit and you're just sitting on your couch like you're okay, right? Like,
yeah,
I think that's the argument behind it.
Well, these people are super rich and they basically just go to parties. So I kind of envy them.
Yeah, you're okay. So you're living vicariously through the.
Yeah. The opposite.
But they don't anyway, get to be on Play Tessie.
Talk about spitting on balls.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, hey. They do talk about.
I was talking about baseball. Oh,
were you?
I was talking about Alex Bregman hitting.
Joe, you're supposed to yell at us and tell us to get back on track.
Okay, let's move on now. Okay, boys.
Okay.
Okay.
Should we talk about Willy Abreu?
Can I tell you something funny?
Yeah.
I had like 3 or 4 people today. Willy Abreu struck out every single time. he played today?
0-4.
0-4 with 4 Ks. I had people tweet at me, he needs a few games in Worcester. Their season just ended. I'm like,
I mean, they've got like that stay ready group. Like everyone who's on the 40 man that's not with the big club goes to Fort Myers. I guess he could take live ABs against those guys. But
credit to all the people who tweeted that to me. They either deleted their tweet, but nobody said, yeah, I meant bring him back a day earlier, which would have been a cope. Put him in Worcester for a day. They should have done that, like with no knowledge of his medical situation. Mm. But yeah, I think it was 4 strikeouts, 1 for each strikeout. People saying he should have played in Worcester. I'm like, buddy, there is no Worcester games left. It's over. It's over for Wormtown.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's back. We've been, honestly, I don't know if I don't know how many people actually thought he was coming back. Your opinion on it was probably the right one, is don't believe it until he actually is in the batter's box. Mm-hmm. And then he was in the batter's box today.
If there were AAA games going on, like let's say AAA ended in 5 days, would you want him to play AAA games, or would you just want him up here right away?
I'd probably still have brought him up right away.
I think it's easy
to say in hindsight now that he was 0-4 with 4 Ks, but
I think Bregman, I would have just said bring him up.
Bregman missed more time and he came right back. And I know Bregman's Bregman, and I know Willie's a really good player. He's not Bregman, but I mean, these are games you got to have. You see the lineups they're putting out there. I know Nate Eaton has played really well. I know that like Nick Sogard is playing well. I get it. Like these guys, like the reason they were losing is not the bottom of the lineup dudes. Crazy enough as it seems, it was the guys that you've had as mainstays. Like we talk about Bregman and Sadon, like those guys not hitting, and Duran, like it was those guys that were costing you games. It was not like the Nate Eatons who somehow along the way ended up hitting over 300.
Yeah, what an asshole I seem like after I just went nuclear on him, and then he ends up being very good, very serviceable. So egg on my face.
I think it was fair to be pissed off at that. That was ridiculous. Just as the same way as today with Kyle Hudson with the send of Romy Gonzalez. That was.
Yeah. I don't want to go off on Romy because it was a bad send. Hudson. Yeah, yeah. It was
Romy's
Hudson.
Not looking at the ball.
Yeah, no. And the Nate Eaton one was just like it was right in front of him. The Hudson one, the ball was in the corner, kind of a tough thing. Like bad send, not letting him off the hook, but it's not as egregious. It's not the Yankees. Yankees, too.
Yeah,
Yankees,
it's true.
Jason Dominguez.
But, yeah, to get back to Willie, I mean, I think your goal here is you got to get him. You hope that he's on track by the time the postseason starts, and you hope that you get there, but you can't not have him playing in these. Like, if you wanted to give him 3 AAA games, then you're basically giving him 3 major league games to get ready for the freaking playoffs. Like, yeah. No, he's got to be in there. He's got to be playing major league games. This is essentially his rehab assignment, and you're hoping he can figure it out as he goes. And I mean, you need him to be him to go anywhere in the playoffs. So like, it's not like you just don't bring him back because, oh, he's going to go 0-4 for 3 games. Like, no, you need Willie if you want to go anywhere. Like, you need that power. He's one of 3 players on the Red Sox this year to hit 20 or more homers, and one of them is Devers,
Bregman, Story.
Oh, Story. I forgot Story. So 4.
Yeah.
And then Abreu.
Duran. Abreu.
Does Duran have 20? No way.
No. Duran doesn't have 20 yet. I take it back. Yeah, I think with Willier, I mean, this is why Willier was hitting 8th tonight, which we've hardly ever seen. Not recently, at least.
Yeah.
He's not Willie right now. He's got to get back in the groove thing. He was not even close to hitting anything tonight. He was... The swings didn't look the same. Like, it's going to take him some time, but there is no AAA like we just spoke about. What a task for Alex Cora getting through these last, like, the few series prior to this one and then the few upcoming. Just an unbelievably difficult job for Cora between managing Abreu specifically, the lineups every night where you have about half your guys, the rotation, which is down to 3, and then a few question marks in terms of starters. You don't really know who you have. The bullpen is probably the least of his issues, and even that I'm not thrilled with. You're missing Jordan Hicks, dude. It's like getting without Jordan Hicks.
It's like getting to the eighth. Like they're very lucky to have Whitlock and Chapman, because you're right. There's been so much instability on this team, but the eighth and ninth being as secure as they've been is a luxury that I feel like I'll speak for myself. I'm definitely guilty of taking it for granted, because we've had some years, recent years, where eighth and ninth innings are no guarantee.
I don't think I take it for granted. I do expect them to get the job done, Whitlock and Chapman. And when they do, I'm still super I think about it a lot, how cozy it is to be a Red Sox fan with a lead in the eighth and the ninth inning this year. But, I was freaking out beginning of the year because I thought they didn't have enough bullpen help. I feel like that's the ultimate way to just get punted out of the postseason. So, I appreciate it.
Joe?
I mean, to be fair, though, we were, I don't know about you guys, but I was a tad nervous since on Saturday Chapman was in there and he was sweating so much he probably could have filled the rest of the Atlantic Ocean with how much was dripping off his brim.
Yeah, that was
he had to have put water. He had to have put water on his hat before he came out there. He had to have, like Clay Buchholz used to do.
It cannot be physically possible to sweat so much that it drips like it was off of the brim of your hat, like off of your face. Maybe, but like to get all the way to the brim of the hat, there's no, I know that it's Florida and it was like 90 degrees, but yeah, it was crazy. And he had to throw a shit ton of pitches to get through that, but
did it though.
Yeah, he did it. And he was not needed in the third game, and he'll get an off day on Monday. We can talk about, Sammy, you sort of questioned the bullpen decision-making tonight. I questioned it more in the second game when he went to Wilson in the seventh. And I thought, Steven Matz has been really good for this team. He's got an ERA in the ones since he got here. Although I don't know anymore. He gave up the home run tonight. Or you could have just gone to Slayton, who'd been so good. That's one of the developments that that maybe hasn't gotten enough play yet, is that Slayton has looked as good as he has. And it really just deepens the bullpen. But he went to Wilson, didn't work out. And then tonight, he went to Zach Kelly for a second inning. Zach's pitched super well lately, but it's been in one inning spurts. Outside of that, four inning, I should say masterclass of an outing, even though it was in a terrible game. He's been having success in one inning spurts, and it was the second inning today that he came out and he struggled and they pulled him, and it was kind of too late from there.
Steven Matz at 2.21 ERA with the Red Sox, so still good. It's after tonight. Okay. Excuse me. My complaint with the Sunday night game, bullpen managing.
Lots of stuff we're not privy to, whether that's a physical thing, a sickness thing, or just not feeling it. There's just stuff that goes on in people's lives. So the bullpen management thing, I think, is a lot harder than just picking the matchups. It's like balancing personalities as well. That said, Zach Kelly's been hot lately. They put him in a one-run game. Sucks down one run, so you're not going to use your high leverage guys. So I thought that was totally appropriate to go to him in that spot. Zach Kelly pitches a clean inning. 4-3 still, next inning, and they go back to Zach Kelly. This is in the bottom of the eighth now. So from the seventh to the eighth, they go back to Zach Kelly. And I don't fully agree that he's not a multi-inning guy, but I don't think he's a multi-inning guy in big spots like that in a one-run game. He's not uber reliable. Like if you're down by 3 or 4 and you need him to keep it close because you're still in striking distance, then if he has to go to, okay, that's fine. But tonight, at this point in the season, with Whitlock warming up, so you have to think he's good to go, why not just go to Whitlock to keep it a 4-3 game? And my guess would be the argument Cora would use, and whether this is right or wrong is not what I'm saying, is he probably would have said, well, he had a quick seventh inning. He's been pitching really well lately, and the playoffs are coming up. Anytime we can save Whitlock is great. Also, we're not winning, so I don't want to push him too much. That's the argument I guess he would have used. I don't think he would have said, I overthought it or anything like that. So that's my complaint. It's nothing. It's not egregious. It did backfire, but I did not think that was the right move. I would have gone straight to Whitlock, and backup plan would have been straight to Toley.
So I went back and forth on things as I was thinking through it. I understand not going to Whitlock just mainly because of everything we talked about at the start of the show. They lost the game tonight, but your playoff chances are still pretty good. Like, you don't need to necessarily, and I get this can change in the blink of an eye. Like, tomorrow things could change and it's like, oh shit, like now they really have to go. But as it stands right now, like, you're losing the game. If you put Whitlock in and he shuts it down, you still probably lose the game. And Whitlock has taken a lot this year on his plate. And let's see, he's thrown on the 13th, 14th, 17th, 20th. So this would have been a back-to-back. He would have had an off day tomorrow. He would have been okay, but and he's been unbelievable. But it's one of those things where it's like he's coming off surgery. Obviously, you need him in the postseason. If you don't have Whitlock, you're not going anywhere. And anytime you can save him and reasonably feel like the outcome is not going to change whether you put him in or not, I feel like you don't do it. But that said, I couldn't really think of a guy that I would have rather put in, because originally I was on Team Toley, but then when we realized he remembered that he threw 50 pitches on Thursday and only had 2 days since then, I honestly, I'm surprised they went to Toley at all tonight. I probably would have kept him down for sure after throwing 50 pitches. I mean, this is a guy who was throwing like 65 and a start in the minors and then getting 5 days off and then pitching another start. Like, that,
I don't know what the usage is going
to
be.
I thought it was
crazy
that they went to him tonight.
I didn't think it was crazy. Well, I get why they did it. Like, they needed strikeouts in that spot. I was just kind of undecided on whether I thought it was worth it. I mean, if he's saying he's good, I'm sure he's good. They're not asking for a ton of pitches. This might have been what Cora does in the playoffs when he had, remember, like Porcello in 2018 would pitch for an inning in like the middle of like when he would normally be recovering. And that's the fill in for their bullpen sessions that they do throughout the regular season. So maybe that it was something like that timing wise. But either way, also, if you don't use Whitlock on Sunday, better chance you get two good versions of him against the Blue Jays, or you can at least use him twice comfortably, ideally not in a back-to-back situation, first and third game, if everything goes how you want it. So I guess it just makes him a little easier to use in a more important series.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there, obviously the most important thing is getting in. Like, before anything, before you talk about we need guys to be fresh, we need guys to be playing their best ball, like, you have to get in. Secondly, obviously you'd love to get in and be able to clinch, let's say, Friday, and you don't have to pitch Whitlock or Chapman on Saturday, Sunday. They're going to have Monday off, and then Tuesday would be the wild card series. Obviously, this is a week from, like, this is in like 9 days. But yeah, getting these, I don't know. It's really a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation, because if they pitched Whitlock and they lost, like in that Yankee game, what was it, was it the first Yankee game that they pitched Whitlock and Chapman both and then lost?
Yeah, that was tough. Like,
those games objectively kill. And they had a bunch of those early in the season because the Red Sox would lose so many one-run games. And they would, like,
what would you have done?
I debated. Like, I was originally Team Toley. Then I came off that. And honestly, I think I probably would have gone back to Zach. And I wouldn't have felt great about it. But that's probably what I would have done, and I would have been wrong, because if, like, objectively with the result, it ended up not being the right call, but I think that's what I would have done.
Spin Zone, you have a big league manager who agrees with your take, so
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, but, and also Spin Zone, Chapman only threw once in the series. Whitlock will be fresh for the Jays, and again, Jays not playing their best ball right now. Let me quickly look at the matchups for that series. They moved Crochet up a day to Wednesday, which is
MLB.com has it right now. Giolito versus Gausman for the first game. And then the second game, that would be Crochet Scherzer, which I love that matchup. And then Bayo Bieber. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I spoke about it on the broadcast.
Yeah. They moved Crochet up, and it's basically what it does is he now gets, not, it's like the 5 day rest to go to game one of the wild card series.
Yeah. Lou laid it out really nice on the broadcast tonight. It's basically Red Sox were saying, would you rather Crochet on extra rest in the regular season for that one last start or for game one of the playoffs? And the Red Sox chose game one of the playoffs. So,
right.
I kind of like that. That's like a confident move, confident easy, without saying it.
Easy decision. Like, yeah, just an easy call. Those are actually, outside of the Scherzer, because Scherzer, he let up 7 runs in less than an inning in his last start. Like, you feel good. He's got a 5 ERA this year, obviously, in large part due to that outing. But Gausman has been pitching really well. Bieber has pitched very well since being activated off the IL. So not going to be easy. But again, like, you got to win 3 games. So if you get 1 in this series, then you got to take the Tigers series. If you take 2 in the series, you can take it a little bit easy. Maybe you win on Friday against the Tigers. You can clinch, take it easy Saturday, Sunday. But let's be honest with ourselves. Like, this is probably a situation where if you were going to clinch, it's going to be in the last day or two of the season.
Oh, wow. Kevin Gausman has pitched really well lately. Yikes.
Did he throw a complete game recently?
Yep. September 11th, 9 innings.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No earned runs, 2 hits. Wow. It was 9 Ks. Woo.
Who was that against? That was Tampa?
Houston.
No, Tampa was his last start. Houston, jeez. Yeah, he's... So last start, he was 6 innings, 1 earned against Tampa. Then, yeah, it was 9 shutout before that. And then before that, it was 8 innings, 1 run. Before that, it was 7 innings, 1 run. And this is against Milwaukee, Yankees, Astros, Rays.
So, Sox are going to tee off on him?
Yeah.
Jesus, dude. Come on. Why this guy, Gausman? He's the guy who was upset because the Red Sox didn't call him when he was a free agent. He's like, they didn't even call me.
Well, they should have called him.
They should have, but like, they should have called him. Shit. Weird.
Can I also point out that the odds are in the Sox favor because the Guardians and the Tigers are playing each other?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So the idea would be that the magic number is, it's 5, right? It's still 5. So
yeah, like if the Red Sox win 5 games, they're in.
Yeah, but there's also that combo of like if they can win and the Guardians can lose, that boosts it. So really, if the Sox take 1 of 3, but the Guardians lose 2 of 3, that means you only need to get 1 from Detroit.
And Joe, also,
like, do you
it's
really
not just
think
the Guardians or the Astros? Like,
right,
it's both.
Right. Like, do
that's
you
why
guys,
the odds are good.
Yeah. Do you guys, like, actually think that the Guardians can go 5-1 again in 3 against Detroit and then 3 against Texas?
I do think they can do it, but I don't think that both them and the Astros are going to do it. That's why I feel good right now. Like, if it was just the Guardians we were worrying about, I'd be sitting here shitting my pants because they win every day.
Not today. And one last thing on the Blue Jays before we move on to enough said. No Bo Bichette, which is big. Like that's a legit big piece to be missing. Joe must be devastated. Oh, Joe's sad. That's Joe's fave. Yeah. Joe's fave player. But yeah, that's a big loss for them. I know people have mixed opinions on Bo Bichette, but
he's a good player. Come on.
Yeah, and he's a shortstop.
Objectively hurts them.
Yeah, he's hitting he was hitting 311, 18 home runs, defenses. So, but 840 OPS and a 128 OPS plus, not in the lineup for Toronto. It's a big loss. So it's not just the Sox that are hurting.
Yeah. No, I mean, and the truth is, like, I don't know. They're not playing good ball. Hopefully. I mean, they're a pesky team. I don't know. The games are going to go how they go. It's really fuck unpredictable this time of year. But you got your three dudes going, and Bayo's going to be on extra rest, which hopefully will be good for him because he obviously has not looked like himself recently. So hopefully the extra day will – actually, an extra couple of days because he's got the off day and pushed a day.
Yes. All right. Enough said.
Yeah. You got anything, Sammy?
Yeah. He hasn't been great lately, but want to give a shout-out to Greg Weissert. He pitched in his 70th game for the Red Sox tonight, Sunday, September 21st. That is, say what you want about him. I don't like him in leverage spots either. He's not great with inherited runners, but 70 outings is 70 outings. That's a big, piece of a team, and I feel like he never gets any credit. He was awesome, awesome in the first half of the season. I actually think I had him as my unsung hero of the team, if I remember correctly. So Greg Weissert, underappreciated. This is not me saying he should be a leverage guy, but I still think he's underappreciated. 70 games, 2.92 ERA, that got adjusted, over 64.2 innings, 55 Ks. I think he's good.
He has pissed me off to no end in the second half of the season here, but when you had him as your unsung hero of the first half, I remember being really annoyed that I didn't have him as mine because he really was the unsung hero of the first half. That said, holy shit, that A's game was
brutal.
When he coughed up early's runs, that just, or one
totally
run.
Totally debuted, too.
And totally debuted. Yeah, it was tough.
But overall, 70 games.
That's a lot of games. That is a lot of games.
Thank you, Greg. Go, Greg. Also, seen him walk his dog before. Cute dog. Forget the breed, but cute dog. Yeah. It was late at night. I didn't want to go up to him and be like, Hey, Greg,
can I pet your dog?
Remember me, Greg? Hey, do you know why I picked you as my unsung hero for the first half of the season, Greg?
Can you show me how you grip your sweeper, Greg?
Yeah, sure, man. Here you go.
You got a ball?
Yeah, he's a super nice guy. But yeah, shout out Greg Weissert.
Enough said. So I was watching, obviously, the Red Sox, but I had the Sunday night football game on a second screen. And what I would do is when the Red Sox would go to commercial break, I would mute that screen and I would turn up the volume on Sunday night football. And one thing that watching football at the same time as baseball, I think when you watch baseball, you think, oh, they go to commercial every half inning. So there's a ton of commercial breaks. Football has a shit ton of commercials. Like, I could not, like, every single time the Red Sox would go to commercial, I feel like the Sunday night football game was in commercial. I'd just be sitting there through two separate commercial breaks at once. Like, I just think, whatever, too many commercials. That's all. A lot of money.
Well, that's why I don't have two TVs, so I don't ever get double commercials. It's on purpose.
Yeah, if you don't watch multiple things at once, you will never be subject to double commercials.
Double commercials is a fate worse than death itself.
It's true. Double commercials worse than missing the postseason.
Did any of them work on you? Did you buy any new products?
No, I didn't buy anything tonight. Joe?
So double fail.
The number one answer to all of that is money, boys. It's all about the money. Yeah. But while we have some extra time, I do also want to have a tiny enough set here and just say what I tweeted out earlier today. I'm done with the Ramondre Stevenson era. I'm done with it. I'm ready for Travion time. It's Travion time.
Yeah. Well, what if he magically just stops fumbling?
I'm still done.
You could have said that last year too. I think he's still done. What is it like 9 fumbles and 7 touchdowns 9. Last year or something?
He had 7 last year.
What if he just doesn't this year? They got it. I'm going to treat football how baseball fans treat Pete Fatsy. And just be like, well, why doesn't the running backs coach tell him not to fumble?
That's a good point. No one ever.
It's his running backs, bro.
Wait, like, can we talk about that
just
for a second?
Don't.
Ramondre fumbles and people go nuts on Ramondre. But if the Red Sox don't hit, it's Fatsy. No one ever talks about. But then again, people go after McDaniels. And people go after. People go after McDaniels.
Yeah.
But that's if the offense isn't scoring. Like, you'll see dudes go 0 for 4 with 4 Ks, and it'll be like, fire the coach.
Also, like, you don't know if a guy, like, fucked up a route or just like wasn't getting good separation. Like you don't, it's so hard to tell in football if the coach is fucking up. Like it's so easy to be like, why would you call that if the play didn't work? But how do you know like the corner didn't just do an outstanding job or the defensive coach called the perfect coverage to counter you and it was just a great move by him? Like it's so, I hate the like, I know better than this fucking professional coach. It's just like, not saying don't have your opinions, but like, just it, nitpicking stuff you can't see is, it always gets to me.
Also, the difference you're talking about, Gordo, is Ramondre is one guy that's fucking up. The whole lineup at one time could not hit. So you're talking about a group of people versus one person.
But they'll do it when, like, you have, like, Connor Wong hitting sixth. And people be like, what's wrong with Pete Fadsey? It's like, dude, look who the fuck he has to work with.
It's the same argument as like if Drake's struggling and it's because he has a half second after the ball is snapped to get it out because his offensive line is awful. It's like, what does he have to work with? It's the same thing as for talking about it.
Should just call shorter plays, like call quick passes. Like, do you think he hasn't thought of that, dude? Fuck's sake.
I know some of these NFL coaches are pretty inept. Like I forget, what was it? What did the Joe help me remember this? Did Brian Daboll, what did he call in a game that the Giants, we wanted the Giants to win it, and he called some play when they were like backed up against the end zone that was really, really stupid. And I don't know. Someone's going to have this. They were the Giants either last year or the year before that were backed up against their end zone. It was in the final week or two of the season. And they called the stupidest play imaginable. And it's wow, these are professional coaches.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
Not a football.
I'll text
guy
my Giants fan friend. I'll have it for you guys.
Yeah,
by the end of the day tomorrow. Because Giants fans, I mean they beat us in two Super Bowls, so they can go fuck themselves. But they have it pretty bad. Yeah. Just fell to 0-3 like 2 seconds ago. Even the Patriots have a win.
I hate the Chiefs though. So
yeah,
whatever. Not a fan. Whatever. If as long as Ramondre is not in the game anymore, I will be happy about this Patriots team.
Don't worry, the Joe. Mike Vrabel said we need him, so sounds like he's not going to be in the game.
Yeah.
I agree. Give me Travion. I was begging for Travion, and they gave us Antonio Gibson, and then he immediately fumbled.
I haven't watched a game this year. We were in Arizona for week one. I was at a wedding in week two, and I was at a baptism today for week three. So I'm no good Patriots takes from me. I got nothing. I don't watch.
Quickly, before we wrap, anything good from the baptism?
The food.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah, like a
baptism after party.
Some cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers, bro. It was like a Portuguese barbecue. There was steak. There was bacon wrapped scallops. There was friggin' beer, wine. Like it was awesome. We had a great time. Great after party.
Wow. Good for them.
What'd you good say? Cheese and crackers. Get the fuck out of here, kid.
Dude. That's the one thing. Every like religious outing, I feel like there's always cheese and crackers post, no matter what it is. Like,
there were cheese and crackers, but there was just way more stuff.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, like it's always cheese and crackers.
The big three: wedding, bar mitzvah, funeral. The big three.
Obviously, we have to wrap on that. Appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 267 of Play Tessie. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, and then find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. You can find all our episodes in the Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all of those videos if you can. It helps us out a lot. And then find us on the socials, at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We've got all our content coming out there. It's been a really, really great season of interviews. I'm excited to like actually sit down and recap everything that we've done once the season's over. I'm not willing to do anything like that before it's over. But I'm excited to do it. We've really had a good year of that. The players have been super generous with their time with us. And we've obviously, you know, it's been really great to get to know them and to do content with them. And it's all on those social pages. So be sure to check it out. For Sammy, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 267. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.